man. This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the PBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whitening. I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a ship.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Point of order.
Greetings from us here at the Sunday Times, and welcome to your weekly dose of political shenanigans. This is the Sunday Times Politics Weekly Podcast with me, Amil Amrao. I'm joined in studio this week by my colleagues on the politics desk, Zimasa Matiwane, Apiwe de Klerk, and Zingisa Mvumvu. Guys, thank you all for listening in and for the continued support over the last few months. We've got a cracker of a show lined up for you guys today, and it revolves around our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, whose new dawn has been eclipsed by allegations of impropriety around his 2017 presidential campaign fundraising. Now, this has become the platform for political war among contesting ANC factions, as well as opposition parties like the EFF. But let's get straight into it. Now, Ramaphosa, both in Parliament and before the Public Protector, said that he was not directly involved with the funding of his presidential campaign in 2017. Now, this, Public Protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane said, was not true, and found that Ramaphosa had misled Parliament, and she was fully aware that he addressed several fundraising gatherings where some of the funders and donors were present. It's been a long road since that point. We've seen exposés coming out in various media platforms about how the money was sort of collated and where it was spent. But more importantly, we've seen correspondence relating to fundraising between the CR17 campaign managers. There's also an email which appears to be from Ramaphosa to his banker. There's also stuff to do with finances and fundraising around the CR17 campaign, which Ramaphosa looks like he was directly involved in. Now, the first pertinent question is, what was this money spent on? Because allegations of vote buying, we know about this, have swirled around in the ANC conferences in the past, guys. And so the question is, could some of this money have been used to buy votes in the ANC for the conference? But in an article that I saw earlier in Daily Maverick, Ramaphosa's spokesperson, Kusela Deko, said that the money was used for campaign rallies across the country, meeting venues for food and transport, accommodation for volunteers, advertising, and the whole bunch of things that come around when you're running a campaign to this sort. And I guess the big question or the big debate here is, it's not illegal for South African politicians to personally raise funds to support their campaigns. All right, it's standard practice. It happens all around the world. But should there be more regulations around how politicians receive their funding, guys?
Look, I mean, first of all, I think President Cyril Ramaphosa didn't do anything unusual, especially with regards to the ANC, just trimming it down to the ANC. It's been a standard practice, unofficial, of course, in that it's never communicated. His very unfortunate pet luck was that his landed on the wrong hands. I mean, all people who have contested for positions, well, at least in the main, at least in this democratic dispensation, have spent money in one way or the other. It's just that they were smart enough to keep it under the wraps, and others avoid, for instance, stuff like paper trail, because it would land you in troubles like this that our president.
So what you're saying is it's an officially unofficial thing to campaign for yourself within the ANC.
It is.
We know it happens, but it's not really public that you're doing it.
Because much as it's legally, I mean, there's nothing wrong about it, but in terms of ethical and political point scoring within the contesting factions within the ANC, it becomes a very dangerous weapon to that which person who has been exposed to have done such a thing. So that's the unfortunate thing about President Ramaphosa, and it all stems from the people that were managing his campaign. I'm sorry to say this, but generally the white people that were managing his campaign are not privy to ANC culture and tradition, in that they thought that because he's this clean man, he must formalize everything. Let me put it simple this way, Amir. President Cyril Ramaphosa
formalized an informal process that has been culture and tradition within the ANC, and that is where his problem started, in that they use bank accounts, they transferred money is direct, although knowing that much as that is not illegal per se, but politically and ethically, it may send a different message, which is what our president finds himself in. As for the practice of raising campaign, as you said, it's a global phenomenon. Actually, there is no campaign that will ever survive without money, not at least in a capitalist system. And in a capitalist party like the ANC, which poses like a socialist party, there's nothing socialist about the ANC. It has never been, it will never be. So in that kind of an arrangement, really, you need money. Otherwise, without money, you won't get anywhere. All the other candidates used money as well. But I'm not going to get into that topic as to why we don't hold them accountable, because I'm only interested in my president now, the guy who runs the country.
Well, here's the question I'm going to put out to the rest of you guys. If it's not illegal, what's the big fuss about? Should there be a fuss up here?
You see, I think the rest of the country has been sucked into internal political dynamics of the ANC. For the ANC, it's wrong. It's against their rules. You don't campaign in the ANC for your own election.
Yeah.
So it's an issue that the ANC ought to be dealing with. And obviously, we are being sucked into this because he's the president of the ANC. He then became the president of the country. But according to our constitution and our laws, there's nothing wrong he's done legally.
Of course.
But within the party, that's a different story altogether. But even there, I don't know. I've not read their constitution word for word, especially, and I don't remember having seen guidelines. I had not covered that campaign at a national level. You see, I would have been dealing with provincial gatherings and whatnot at the time. So I don't know the guidelines that were set up that the ANC then can use to say, since you have admitted to have formalized a campaign, having fundraised for a campaign, this is the sanction that we can against you for having done this wrong. But for us, as South African, the most important thing is that we know who bankrolled this man into power. We know who was key into his ascendance. We know who got paid to make sure that this thing happens. It is important for us as the citizens, because now he's our president. So whatever he does, if it then gets to favor those people, then we can legitimately say, but Chief, now you are looking after the people that made you president, and you are being biased, and we can raise these questions. That's why it's important for us. But other than that, the bigger question about it should be with the ANC. But aside from that, then, you see this story about you mentioned the opposition parties. We must say it's these guys of the EFF
who are making.
Am I jumping the gun?
Oh, go for it.
Okay,
listening.
They were making the most noise about President Ramaphosa and his cabinet, especially Minister Pravin Gordhan. Now you find that two of them have been paid.
Yeah, we'll get into that soon. And that's the ironic part of it all. Zimasa, talking about Cyril Ramaphosa here, as Apiwe was saying, it's an ANC issue. But then if you're going to take disciplinary action against Ramaphosa, surely you would have to take action against all the other candidates who ran in 2017 as well, because it was blatantly clear that they were also funded and also raised fundings and campaigns.
I think it's an opportunity for the ANC to review parts of its constitution and guidelines when it comes to campaigning. When you cover an ANC campaign, whether it's regional or provincial or even national, what you hear from the candidates is that, no, if the branches raise my name, I will submit myself to the will of the branches of the ANC. That's the lie that they tell you when they organize caterers forums to campaign, that no, we are not campaigning, we're just addressing branches of the ANC.
Of course.
Meanwhile, these people are raising billions. they are distributing this money to key cadres in the party who will make things happen for them on the ground. So the ANC must not pretend like money does not play a role in who becomes leader of the ANC. In fact, they must formalize it, and so that we never have to deal with this mess again. Because, as you know, ANC mess becomes the country's mess, and we are all sucked in, and nothing matters anymore. However, when it comes to this particular issue, I don't care who funded Susan. Because she's not the president.
Exactly.
I think we should be firmly focused on who funded Cyril and whether or not those,
because he's the one whose decisions matters now, not Nkosazana, right?
Yeah, no, of course. So yeah.
Okay, but let's look at another interesting issue here. The Sunday Independent reported recently that Small Business Development Minister Kumbudzo Ntshavheni was paid 5 million rand for her role in the campaign. And Deputy Minister in the Presidency Thembi Seweya was reportedly paid 2.3 million rand. And ANC National Executive Committee Member Enoch Godangwana was reportedly also paid 400,000 rand, while Free State MEC Olisa Dukwana was reportedly paid 600,000 rand. Now, these guys, this is not small amounts of money, right?
Yeah.
And these are senior leaders within the party and within the state as well. Now, here's the difference. So, from gathering money, now, if these allegations are true, now you're paying politicians, you're dispensing patronage in a way, aren't you?
Yeah.
Here's the ethical problem. How do we address this? Now, this is obviously a different issue. So what do you guys feel about this now, where politicians were getting paid? Apiwe.
They have a name for this thing. People who benefit during that time, they call it conference premiers.
Conference premiers.
It was lucrative, eh?
Five million is a lot of money.
I wouldn't mind receiving 5 million to write some, to talk to some people and convince some people.
I mean, those monies were not per se for those people, especially, I mean, the Minister of Small Business, who was the campaign manager for CR17 in Limpopo.
Yeah.
We now know that subsequent reports revealed that actually there are branches who are complaining who were meant to be given 6,000, but instead got 1,000, which was from this 5 million that the minister got. And as Abu is saying, around conference time within the ANC, as I say, most of these things are not new, my guy. It's just unfortunate that Cyril got exposed. Others have been quite clean and smart in how they do it. It is unfortunate that he got exposed. So around these times, these things happen where certain people who are of influence or who are campaign managers are given these monies to, of course, dispense it to regions, to provinces, to branches. But of course, I mean, because such things are not official per se, people take some monies for their own benefit. And it's quite evident that that might be the case with the Minister of Small Business, that as the branches are claiming that they were meant to be given 6,000, but most of them received 1,000, so it benefited 5,000 that was meant to go to each branch, which now makes sense as to why.
What was the 5,000 for to each branch?
Well, they are spinning that it was for airtime and cool drink and all that.
But for t-shirts,
yeah, for t-shirts and all those things. But it could be part of it, you know. But we know that.
But wait, what are you going to do with airtime?
You call people to arrange meetings. You know, come on up.
Yeah.
But I mean, we are
that WhatsApp group.
Guys, wait, we are made to believe that ANC has branches, right?
Yes.
These branches, because the party receives money from IEC or all the other sources.
Yeah.
The ANC ought to be able to run itself as a party. It's a party function, not an individual who wants to benefit function, right?
Yeah, but
so wait. So you assume that if these people say we have branches in every ward in South Africa, especially, I'm going to say this, especially in a province like Limpopo, where they are in government, even in municipalities. I understand Gauteng, Shemnyana, because they have lost some of the municipalities, and the councillors don't have, you know, some of them don't have money, you see. But in those municipalities, you find that the brand chairperson is the councillor and what you're trying to tell me, he doesn't have money to run a WhatsApp group to tell people to come to a meeting.
It's different. But the reality is that when people participate in these kind of campaigns, they, because of what the NC, I say the NC has developed a wrong culture that for you, you know, let's say the NC doesn't have politics anymore. It's all about what do I get for supporting you. And that's not a culture that should be blamed on President Cyril Ramaphosa. It's an NC culture that has been there since NC assumed state power. Wait, let me finish my point. No. Chief, I didn't disrupt you. Please.
We're fighting this out.
So I'm saying it cannot be blamed on President Cyril Ramaphosa. It's an NC thing. Hence, I'm saying the problem here is the NC in the bigger scheme of things, not President Cyril Ramaphosa. President Cyril Ramaphosa played into what was accepted as normal within the ANC, but unfortunately it backfired on him. But he should not take the fall for this. It should not be blamed on him. The ANC must self-introspect. The ANC must review its ways going forward. But well, as things look, it doesn't seem like the ANC can repent going forward. This is their way.
I'm waiting for this clap back from a few now.
No, there's no clap back. I'm stating facts here. You can't clap back here.
No. I'm not clapping back. I'm saying us, as especially the media, and the public in at large, if a party says this is their stance, and now one person has been proven, others it's been rumors. One person has been proven. We must not say, as if we must, you know, protect them. No.
Yeah.
You said your party was like this. They all said, whenever we go to press conferences, when you ask them, they say, no, the branches are deciding.
Mm.
Now we have someone who's ascended from that. We can't say, no, we must normalize it. We must understand it was for a time for what? we can't say we must normalize it because it was for data.
But I'm
for
saying,
what?
The branches need 5,000.
No, but wait, you are disrupting me now.
Cannot be blamed on one individual.
We must not be seen to be promoting it.
I'm not promoting it.
I'm saying we must say that those questions must be asked. If this party, that majority of South Africans who went to the ballot papers, to the voting station and voted for them or in May, said we are voting for it based on A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And then it comes out that actually it's A, C, D, E, Z, and Y.
But that's the
we
thing.
Must go and critique that and not just say, happening.
We are critiquing it, but it's the nature of politics. Not everything that is said is what is being said.
We are critiquing, we are even politics. Challenging the ANC to self-introspect and review
We must not agree with this thing that says it was for a time and dark.
No, man,
that
it is wasn't for a time. We all know that.
I'm saying, of course, we know it was for patronage, but all I'm saying is that patronage in the ANC is not a new thing. It didn't come with President Cyril Ramaphosa. It didn't come with former President Jacob Zuma. It didn't come with former President Mbeki. It came with the ANC.
Guys, in a campaign that got $1 billion, is it $1 billion?
Yes. Close to $1 billion. Yeah.
We don't really know, but hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say hundreds of millions. And you tell me that a branch get 5,000.
Well, of course, because there are people.
That's
like
not money. That is not money. Who took the whole other money?
No.
The people who are actually going to vote for you, Cyril Ramaphosa, you are giving them 5,000 to divide among themselves.
Because the people who are influential, like the minister, got 5 million.
And that they are saying that there are no funds, it's a religious campaign.
Yeah.
Well, here's the ironic part. Now, it's emerged that EFF MPs Nkasiang Mokgotsi and Teboho Mokwela are some of the senior politicians who received money from Ramaphosa's CR17 presidential campaign. Now, Mokwela received about 40,000 rand from the campaign account, which she said was for assistance for a personal financial problem, and Mokgosi received about 80,000 rand, which she said was for a personal situation that she had. Now, they've both resigned from parliament and from the party's central command team. So It's surprising, but I have just one question here, and this is what is curious to me. What does it say about the EFF leadership that their senior MPs have to confide in and seek assistance from their political foe, who is Cyril Ramaphosa, rather than their own party?
Look, I mean,
everyone's hands are up. Everyone's
First of all, the EFF is an offspring of the ANC, no different in terms of the traditions, the crookedness, the patronage networks, and the underhand dealings.
Allegedly.
No, it's not alleged. The EFF is the offspring of the ANC, therefore,
nothing surprises me in how they behave. They will behave like their parent,
yeah.
You know, and even perfect it more than the parent. Why do I say this? I still, to this stage, having listened to radio interviews and other interviews, leaving alone the resignation letters, which I believe they didn't write themselves, but that's a story for another day. The interviews that they did where they speak for themselves now. That's what I'm interested in. And when I listened to them, particularly Tebogo Mokoele, I it makes me think that these people may have not actually requested the money themselves from President Cyril Ramaphosa. There may be a third hand that is hidden of more. I mean, even you can think, where did these people meet President Cyril Ramaphosa? You know, it's not easy access to just have access to someone of that stature easy like that. There are certain people within the EFF, though, who may have easy access to the president, you know, who may have done
maybe
this.
Maybe they just bumped into in the corridors in Parliament.
I seriously doubt that. I seriously doubt that. But yeah. You see, so I'm saying what we are told as far as the EFF's involvement in this is concerned may not be actually what happened, but only time will tell. But from where I sit now, I do believe there's more to this, the EFF involvement, than meets the eye. But as I say, as time goes on, things will be revealed and we will know more. But as far as President Cyril Ramaphosa is concerned, I must say he was quite a political genius by doing this, because in a way, the EFF is sort of disarmed, although they are trying this spin very desperately so, which is not flying as far as I'm concerned. This spin that personal reasons, blah, 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 they pumped into the president. In a way, as far as I'm concerned, they've been disarmed in terms of how they will use the whole funding issue now for their own political point scoring by attacking the president, because now the counter argument would be, but you also benefited,
yes, exactly.
You know. So in a way, that's why I say it was a genius of President Cyril Ramaphosa. He's quite a genius, by the way. You may underrate him. He's a smart guy.
Genius is an exaggeration.
No, he's a genius, because, I mean, if you make others benefit who ought to be your critics, you are sort of cutting their mouth, that there's nothing that they can say. There's also allegations now that other political parties may have also benefited, although they've not been substantiated yet. But silence speaks volumes. You know, there are people who usually speak out loud on issues like this, but they're quite quiet at this point in time. If indeed more political parties benefited from this, I think it was quite strategic on President Cyril Ramaphosa to do that. Not to say that it was right, but for his own survival and beneficiation, it was smart to do so for political reasons.
Zimosa, does this say anything about this? Going back to my original question, does this say anything about the EFF sort of atmosphere and the environment within the EFF, where you've got two of their parliamentarians seeking assistance from their political foe rather than confiding in with their own party?
One of the ladies, I think, she said that the party was aware of her situation and her needing money. And I guess no one wanted to help her. But I mean, at the same time, it doesn't make sense how someone would go ask a president of another political party for money. When I need money, I borrow from friends, from family, or I take a loan.
Yeah.
So she had options. For me, it still doesn't make sense how she went to Cyril to ask for money. I still don't think it's that easy to have access to Cyril and ask him for that sort of money. So I truly believe that there is a story that's still going to come out regarding these monies that went to the EFF.
It's funny that we, when this whole thing started, or when we got to know about the 500,000 of Bosasa, it was said to be campaign funds.
Yes.
For the presidential
campaign
of the president in the ANC. Fast forward to this week. We know people were knocking cap in hand, asking for money, from previous political party. You would think this was he was running a Mashonisa type of except they are not paying back the money, which they've been asking other people to do. So I don't understand now I thought after this the president should come and say, but this is what I said about the monies that were being raised.
Yeah.
And this was what I said insofar as my knowledge of the activities surrounding the account, that I was not involved. So if someone then says, but I went to you to ask for money for a personal reason, and you specifically then, after I spoke with you, then it was in conduct.
But you see it again. Hence, I'm saying this story is not believable. And hence, I insist that those resignation letters were not written by the people that are purported to have written them. In there, that's what the lady is saying. That's Tebogo Mokoele, that she had a personal problem. She confided with the president. The president offered to assist. In an interview with SAFM this week, the same lady said, as Zimasa was saying, that she actually had confided with the deputy president of the EFF, Floyd Shivambu, that she has personal problems, but there was no help forthcoming. And then she saw this man. She actually added, saying that she didn't know where the money came from until the release of the bank statements where her name appeared.
Did Floyd ask on her behalf?
That's what I'm saying. There could be more to this than meets the eye. What is said in the resignation letter now and what she is saying when we have firm evidence that it's her speaking are completely different. Hence, I'm saying there's more to this. There could be other people who may have used these cicadas' bank accounts for their own benefit. They may have actually not benefited from these monies, these two EFF MPs, and they may be used as sacrificial lambs.
But because it's the EFF, will never
for political expedience and all of those things. And because EFF is an authoritarian party, that it is. Others.
Look, I care very less about the EFF and how they deal with their members, and for whatever reason, how they got involved. I care very much about the fact that When I say I have no knowledge of how much is in my is in my savings account, I had no knowledge for the past 6 months, and then you realize that after someone spoke to someone and spoke to someone and the money was delivered to Amir, suddenly I'm going to ask a question, but how did that happen? Did the guy call back, okay, do we still have some there?
Yeah.
And then you say, yes, no, transfer 80,000 Nyana to so-and-so. Mm. Then that means I had knowledge.
Of course. Well, Ramaphosa's going to have a lot more to answer for in Parliament on the 22nd of August, which is tomorrow, on Thursday, because Julius Malema is going to ask him a pertinent question. He's going to ask, what are the details of the persons in the office of the president and in cabinet who were involved in fundraising for his campaign, and the potential funders whom he met at each specified dinner, as per his reply. So that's going to be interesting, because it looks like he's setting him up again, like Musi Maimane did initially in Parliament, where he asked the president about the Basasa money, and then this whole thing blew up. Julius is a tactician. Would he be asking this question if he didn't already have information at his disposal? Is he trying to catch the president out here again for the second time?
He has the answer. But you see, Amil, again, for the president, he's not helping himself.
Mm.
And that's why these questions are going to keep on coming up, people tricking him. As I have said before, I repeat again, what could be the best thing for the president to put this matter to bed? Of course, there will be a whole political fallout and all that, but it's going to blow up. He's not going anywhere by the look of things. But what he needs to do for this to go away and for him to move on and be what he ought to be,
is going
to
be to tell the truth,
would be to come forth and tell the truth. Of course, he will manage it such that it doesn't have much damning political implications, you know. But it's better to come forth and reveal to say, this is what happened. I know there's been this whole confusion, but I'm out now to state all the facts, put all my cards on the table, and say, this is what happened. If there's nothing illegal, well, we all agree, at least now, that there's nothing illegal, but ethically, if you, my people, feel that I was ethically wrong, I apologize. Yeah. And I promise that these people are not going to benefit from their assisting me. Here are their names. You will be the judges.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. I'll be the president for the next 5 years. You monitor whatever.
So you think now, if I had contributed to that campaign, for instance, and then say you are the president, you come up and say these people will not benefit. Now I gave you a couple of millions. You think I'm going to be happy about that?
No, no, but I'm saying you'll say they, not to say they won't benefit, they won't benefit actually if there's an open tender process that is fair.
But there'll always be questions raised around that.
Yeah, of course, I know. But I'm saying for his own political survival now, that's what he ought to do.
He needs to protect himself, not the funders. Exactly. He's already president. He's got nothing to lose.
To lose, you know? So he must protect himself, and this thing will help him to move forward and lead the country going forward. Because right now, ever since he came into office after the election, there is nothing that he's been able to do other than defending himself from this mess that he is not dealing with decisively. And again, I blame the people around him.
Yeah.
Wrong advisors. He goes to press conferences, he tries to spin more, they bring evidence to counter what he's saying. So he must just state all the facts so that there is no room for his enemies within the ANC, who are surely the people behind this, to say, let's listen to what he says now, what next lie he tells, and then we'll expose
him. Yeah.
Come out, expose yourself, you disarm your enemies, you move forward.
Well, here's the question going forward, right? We've got another ANC conference coming up in 3 years, all right? And this question of campaign funding is going to probably come up again then. So how do we regulate this process where it's transparent but also does the job? Because it's not illegal, so how do we make it, how do we avoid this happening again in the future? Should it be that if you're being hosted by a branch, for example, to give a speech or to give a presentation like we saw in 2017, does the branch then incur all the costs from ANC money? Or does the ANC maybe say, okay, here is 200,000 rand from our coffers to each of the candidates. You use this money and this money only. How do we go forward, Simasa?
It's not in the best interests of the ANC to regulate the process because the guy at the branch is waiting for a conference to buy a certain car because he's a nobala of a very big region and he will deliver it for you at the conference. So those people, they don't want that process to be touched, but they want it to go back to what it used to be. Brown envelope, black plastic bags, money, finished. That's how it's going to stay, the way I see it.
But obviously, that's not a sustainable process, guys, because then we're going to have another explosion of allegations like this again.
No.
Oh, so now we mustn't deal EFTs, we must just do cash.
Can formalize it by simply having a blatant and clear constitutional clause in this constitution as to what, how should people campaign going forward if the party is capable enough to fund whatever campaign for any other candidates, or if people, because people can still be allowed to source a private funding, but then maybe you have a clause to say if you source private funding, then you must declare it in advance to the party so that we know who is funding you. And I'm telling you now,
if there is a policy conference tomorrow and that thing comes up, the branches of the ANC will not allow it.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, because the ANC is a self-serving organization and not interested in the good of the country, unfortunately.
Have you ever closed it off for us?
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with both. But for the party, now, look, we are in 2019, man. This is not in exile.
Yeah.
Morokoro. We're not in Morokoro.
Yeah.
This is 2019 democracy. People who say, look, I've been serving the party in different capacities, and I am available.
Yes.
For whatever position you want to nominate me for. Hence, open nominations. You open nominations, you get people, everyone who's been nominated are given equal opportunity, equal platforms within that the ANC.
Yeah.
Their branches, whether it would be closed. I've been to a certain party's pre-conference debate where you had candidates who were, now these are the two who would be running for the main position, sitting there debating, sharing ideas, taking from what the party had done, where the party is and how they think they can move it forward. It's mature, it's adults. Adults in the room, they listen to you, they make up their minds, but okay, this one is talking gibberish, this one actually has a point. And then they go and vote for that person.
Yeah.
There's nothing difficult from that. If the ANC wants to survive, if it wants to survive, because this is petty. This is petty politics that have got nothing to do with them growing. It's a very outdated rule and a practice where people don't campaign. People don't say, There's no politician who's not ambitious. Mm. If you have a politician who's not ambitious within that party to either they themselves carry the process or be the ones who are closer to assisting the process to go through, whether we are dealing with ESCOM, whether it's policy changes, then it's pointless having them in a party. A party should chuck people like that out, people who do not have a vision for what the party should be doing going forward. I mean, that's what they should be doing for survival, and they will save us all the time. These headaches.
I think we've already established that in the ANC, it's not the battle of ideas, it's the battle of how deep the pockets are. So
people pay even post that process, because you see you will hold those debates, but people still pay at the end of the day. Yeah, to say the few ones that are not sweet, but yeah. Anyway, sorry for disturbing you. It's like she wants to kill me.
Oh, guys, I think that's all we're going to have time for this week, unfortunately. But thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for the heated debate in studio, guys. We'll catch you all next week, same time, same place.